This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Life comes down so heavy. Sometimes I can't even bear it on my shoulders. I can't cry at all. My tears won't fall as I get older. Guess I'm going through the change. I feel so cold and strange. Wish I could fall apart and get it over. Why can't I cry? You do when I need to. Why can't I cry when I need to? And God knows I need to. So bad.
Well, good evening. Today is May 6, 2018, and welcome to On Frequency with Keith Rogers, located here in beautiful western Montana. I'd like to dedicate the rest of that song, if it's still playing, to Granny out there, and we'll key her back up there.
A woman can cry so easy. You never have to hold the hurt down deep inside you. But I can't let go. I can't let it show. Like you do. Guess I'm going through a change. I feel so cold and strange. Wish I could just break down and cry like you do.
Tango.com. Kenneth is in the control room answering calls and fiddling with other little projects that so easily distract him, and perhaps maybe his cute dog too. As a show note, tomorrow I start a bunch of nerve blocks for a pending surgery to fix what damage was done on another surgery over a year ago, so I'm not sure when the surgery is scheduled, but I will be taking some time off here from RBN, so that will come in the near future here to let you know. Anyway, I have a lot of information to discuss, so if those want to chime in, you're welcome to call in 1-800-313-9443, and you can give your own two cents there. But Yeah, it was a personal note. I usually try to start a show off with a personal note here, and I'd like to remind you there that I've been in ham radio here for over 40 years. But from ham radio, I've also been a disc jockey at various 50,000-watt stations, as well as commercially employed to install radios in sheriff and police cars. And in that time, you learn a lot of things, fast at times, too. And I could start with a true story from the 1975-76 era, and that's when I was a young CB-er back then. And as you raise the power up on a transmitter, the RF feedback, or SWR, standing wave ratio, will get higher in some cases. And you have to match the impedance back to the radio for a 50-ohm load. Anyway, CBs back then were limited to 5 watts output, and so I, like the rest of the jerks, bought me a mobile amplifier to increase that power to about 300 watts. I could... the old CB days. But anyway, I had noticed that the SWR had gone up, so I tried to adjust the antenna to make sure that the impedance match of that 50 ohms was met, as I'd mentioned. And the antennas that you had purchased always came with one of those cute little Allen wrenches, L-wrench. And it was to loosen the little hex screw to allow you to raise or lower the antenna for the best match possible. In doing so, I was looking at my SWR meter while poised outside the vehicle, and I would make small adjustments to the antenna. And then keying the radio with its amp, I could see if I needed to go higher or lower in the antenna length. Ever hear of an RF burn? I inadvertently, in this process, forgot to remove my finger from the Allen wrench, at which time I had already started keying the transmitter or the radio, and now had that 300 and some watts burning through two fingers and my thumb. It hurt for more than 3 weeks. So why is that such an interesting story? Well, it's odd there up in Canada that they're finally addressing the issue of EMFs and RFRs, and it's finally been taken to court up in Canada. And this is a class action lawsuit that was filed in their superior court in the province of Quebec in the District of Montreal, Canada. And I don't know if you care about the case number or not, but it's against 50 respondents, including attorneys generals of Quebec and Canada, the cities of Sainte-Anne-des-Lacs, and Hydro-Quebec, and approximately 40 other corporations involved in the manufacture, production, servicing, and transmissions of electromagnetic frequency, EMS, and radio frequencies, RFRS, for their contributory roles in the transmissions and products and that serves these services emit. And just one key? Okay. Anyway, we all know that that Earth and our bodies all have a resonant frequency, and daily we all go through this RF or radiated frequency exposures to the same RF, cell towers, smart meters, and again, as mentioned, these 50,000-watt radio stations and some TV stations are higher. We have Wi-Fi, cell phones, two-way radios, that even the appliances in our homes have RF exposure limits, and are sometimes these are daily exceeded. It's like walking into a hospital and getting an x-ray done and asking the technician why don't they carry a proximity badge on their uniform. And they look at you like, what? But anyway, so a daily dose of RF. Anyway, for a lot of it, it's like we're all inside this earth living in a possible a virtual microwave oven. No timer's been set, so we're all slowly cooking. And if that doesn't get your attention, think of a microwave and how it cooks or heats. What it does to the cellular tissues of the body, in radio in most cases, you are inside a shielded car with the antenna mounted on the outside. At my transmitter site alone, I've raised that same question to our Forest Service here, which then had a new tenant move in. It was an FM radio station, and they were going to be exceeding 900 watts from their transmitter, and the ERP, effective radiated power from the antenna, would increase that output by so many decibels, and every 3 dB gain, you double your power. So anyway, I had asked him about I questioned him about the person that stays in that lookout during our fire seasons over here in Montana about his exposure. And I was told, yes, there was a danger, yet they dismissed that danger by saying that the man or woman up there at the time will go home on the weekend. So still, that's for 5 days a week, the person was just cooking in that RF field. And you also notice those that work in these RF fields that there's a special number to call when you need to access any of your antennas and stuff on these towers and stuff, in which time you call these numbers and they will shut the power off to those transmitters so that you don't get this RF burn, which is this constant of fields that we are being exposed to. Anyway, it's for some, it's this even entails for those that are climbing towers just to change the flashing aircraft alert lights. No one can escape RF. Personally, I think the 5G will replace with being burned by being buried in 6 foot graves. But again, it's as long as they can increase the bandwidth to stream more RF around your home, your cars, and everything else, life is good. Anyway, there's a lot of news breaking a lot from the Middle East right now, and it's some of it's good, and then, of course, some of it's bad. And we know that they are ramping up this deal with Iran. And like I say, anyone can research the Islamic Republic of Iran and see what it's been doing. And of course, we know that Israel doesn't like Iran because of its support for Hezbollah and also the Palestinians, and whether there's these funneling arms and stuff. But Israel wants this this carte blanche type thing to be able to bomb inside Syria to these Iranian bases, which are legally there under international law because of Syria asking Iran to come in, just as much as Syria has asked Russia to come in. Anyway, Bibi's going to meet with Vladimir Putin next week in Moscow. And, of course, this also has to do with the pending U.S. withdrawal from the Iran nuclear deal. And there's more on that story here tonight. But a lot of this is due to the constant hype that Israel's security is always at threat. And they're using the same premise right now over in Palestine / Israel, where the Palestinians are flying kites, and apparently they might light some of them on fire, in which they fall and they start a field on fire or something like that. But this gives the Israelis the authenticated right in self-protection to shoot, maim, kill, whatever. And as well as that, I was watching a video where just after a young Palestinian had talked to a reporter, he had walked more than 5 feet away, and he was shot by Israeli snipers for talking to the reporters. And there's more on that information coming up, too, about the amount of journalism or journalists being killed nowadays. But anyway, on a survey by FAIR of the top 100 papers in the U.S. is being circulation right now in circulation, found not a single editorial board opposed to Trump's April 13th airstrike on Syria. 20 supported the actual strikes right out, and then of course, while 6 were ambiguous as to whether or not the bombing was advisable, the remaining 74 had issued no opinion on Trump's latest escalation of the Syrian war. And of course, remember, for those that pay attention to the news, this is just right after the United States had admitted that Assad had won and the U.S. was pulling out, that there was this strange alleged chemical attack over there, in which Donald Trump came out there and said they had definitely crossed a red line. Of course, no one waited for any intelligence or the OPCW people to go in there. They just started bombing instantly, blaming the Assad government, or regime as they're called here in the West. But anyway, there's more about this, too, because it seems like Syria is being vacated. I have watched so many different feeds here recently of all these despots, these jihadists, that in mass are turning in all their arms over to the Syrians and, of course, asking for their safety. And of course, a lot of these arms are all marked with NATO, U.S., or Israeli identification marks on them. So we know, that the U.S. and its allied partners, especially France, Macron over there says he's trying to make an impression over there that France is not forgotten. But again, if you look at Syria, you can almost look at Afghanistan and then think back to Vietnam and realize that the same players in all of these conflagrations are all usually the U.S., U.K., and France. And with Vietnam, they killed millions. And I've highlighted this before on this show here, the fact that you can watch on YouTube their Vietnam, America's Holocaust, and watch what the U.S. soldiers say from their own mouths about what they were doing down there. And it's no different than a chat I had on Twitter last night where I had some guy dissing me because I didn't support these illegal wars. And, of course, it's always to regime change someone. But anyway, the fact was after I presented him some proof about where his facts were wrong, he threatened to block me. He no longer wanted to hear that. And, of course, like that's basically how it is today. Is when you don't meet the general narrative of what the intended propaganda is, people will come at you and viciously. And of course, we know that all governments pay massively to have their little trolls and shills out there to thwart any information that might be coming out. And you can usually tell those on Twitter. I like the ones that when they try to tell me something and I look at their profile and they have zero followers and they're just tweeting, but they're not actually posting anything, they're just tweeting. And again, these are one of those trolls that are just sitting there being paid by the government to dispute the facts about what's actually happening on the ground. Anyway, things are heating up in Washington there. Of course, this comes back from David Nunes, where Sunday he said he'll be pushing to hold Attorney General Jeff Sessions in contempt this week for not complying with a subpoena. And if Americans can't realize that, what's going on in this country from the internal levels of whether it's the White House, in the FBI's office, what the CIA is doing, what the NSA is doing, that there is something terribly wrong with this government. And, of course, it doesn't just mean United States either, because they're all involved in this. It's the same thing over in UK, over in Germany, over in France. Even Turkey's a part of this, and even though Turkey wants to pull out of NATO, and of course the U.S. is making their threats about anyone that buys any Russian weapons, that they're going to be violating treaty laws with the U.S., and of course the U.S. is going to sanction them too. And it seems like if the U.S. keeps sanctioning everyone, I don't know where we're going to be getting our food and stuff from, because we're just finally hitting the growing seasons here, especially up here in the Northwest. But can you imagine if all these countries just finally said, hey, you know, we're not going to send food up into your area anymore. And for America that lives, well, I guess you have the South there that's pretty, tepid weather and stuff. But anyway, for all us up here in the grain belts and stuff, you can imagine if it's like all these countries that refuse GMO seeds and products from the United States because of the GMOs. And I think even the health ranger, Mike, had a thing out there the other day here about almost 97% of the food sold in America has got some trace, particles of all these pesticides and fertilizers all in them. Which reminds me, too, is you're supposed to go out and buy something organic, and of course, organic has nothing in it. And so what do? They raise the price up to even more than what it was for the original stuff that does have GMOs. But I guess most people will pay more to eat healthier. There was another breaking story here. My break is going to come up here in a second here, so I'll hold on to it here. But, it just shows you that India right now is having a hell of a time with Monsanto right now, who wants to do all this trade stuff against their seeds. But this is how the U.S. strong arm does, is they keep pushing this to and all their products, and if you don't buy them, then of course here comes the massive sanctions and a war's next. Anyway, we'll be right back here with some more information here. Stay tuned. 1-800-313-9443.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You won't know. Turn to talk radio. Anytime at all, anywhere you go. It's on talk radio.
Welcome back. I was just about ready to start a story here, which if you listen to the show here before, I've always encouraged you to do a web search and look up that the FBI is behind all domestic terrorism. And there's article after article. There's also congressional testimony of where those in the FBI have taken part in the testimonies of the fact that the FBI has paid millions out to these lackeys, I guess you call them. A lot of them are mentally ill and everything, to go out and do these jobs. And, of course, it's always an informant. That's why when you read stories, you always hear the same titled caption that was known to the FBI. Anyway, in line with that, a helicopter sniper elite FBI hostage rescue team and Las Vegas police had trained for a high-rise active shooter incident using a helicopter sniper prior to the massacre over there, if one actually happened. You never see blood or bodies in You don't see them digging up the ground there to grab bullets out and stuff. But anyway, this was done back in 2011 when the Metro PD down there and those that had done for this highly trained sniper made the proverbial kill shot by striking a rubber dummy that was placed inside a broken hotel window from the tactical helicopter that was hoovering above the strip, according to the news, a new report here published by the Baltimore Sun. Anyway, hey, let me break here for a second. Hey, Kevin, Kenneth, can you send me a text? Because I can't get my text box to open up on this new program here. But anyway, Facebook is accused of introducing extremists to one another through suggested friends feature. And I thought this was really interesting because you would think if there was some actual war on terror that all these ISIS and stuff websites would be taken down in country after country after country. I mean, you can make one bad post on Twitter and your account's instantly suspended. However, Facebook has helped introduce thousands of this Islamic State of Iraq and the Levant, the ISIL extremists to one another via its suggested friends feature. It can now be revealed. And, of course, the social media giant, which is already under fire for failure to remove terrorist material from its platform, is now accused of actively connecting these jihadists around the world, allowing them to develop fresh terror networks and even recruit new members. And I always like to go one step further on this and say, it isn't just the group, it's who owns them. Just like if you Google who owns Google, it's two former Soviet people. You can assume they're communist. But anyway, that these sites are allowed to exist to be able to keep the fight, the fury, and the anger, and the hatred, and the racism going, you know. And I just think it's amazing there. But and on top of that, now the NSA has managed to collect 500 million U.S. call records in 2017, despite targeting just 40 people. So you can imagine, like I have a video coming up here pretty soon, and I still cannot open up this box here. I'm not sure what's wrong with this program here, but anyway, Skype isn't doing anything for me. I got a connection, that's about it. But anyway, this goes to show you here, like down in Utah, remember the state of Utah was thinking about cutting off the water flow to those servers that provide the cooling for them, but why is the government so preoccupied with every single call record? I mean, the United States only has 330 million, yet they collected 500 million. So, I mean, they are monitoring everything. Of course, a lot of this, as like Mike Rivera would say, is kind of useless because people just brag a lot and everything, and they don't really talk about anything. It'd be like a Craigslist ad where people sit there and they bolster about what they're packing and stuff, or how, what size cup someone wears. I mean, anyway, nothing is in reality there. So, on top of that, Russia sees closer Iran ties if the U.S. exits a nuclear deal, and of course, Russia will stand by the Iran deal and develop these closer ties if the U.S. President Donald Trump withdraws from the agreement on May 12th. And again, that was with the story up above there where Netanyahu is going to Moscow. We'll be right back, and I'll see if I'm going to disconnect here and then have Kenneth call me back, see if I can get this program working. We'll be right back.
Double talk is all you get. And you wanna...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You want to vent your frustrations, you got some things that you need to say. There's a place where people always listen. Go on, dial it up today. Talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers here in Western Montana. Ken gets that pot turned down there. Anyway, there's a lot happening. If people actually did some research, they would see what's going on. And you know, Wikipedia defines it as perception management. And this is straight from the Pentagon, where they always control the narrative, especially in these conflagrations there, where they have embedded reporters and such. But anyway, I have Ken that's going to queue up a video here. It's I'm going to play about 7 minutes of it, but this is in retort, I guess they call it, to the State Department, who is now condemning that journalist or the journalist killings, except ones by, of course, Israel. And of course, Newhart stated that Thursday that the briefing was by praising the State Department press pool and urging accountability for apparent assassination of the BBC journalist in Afghanistan. And this list goes on here. But anyway, it goes on to say, though, that she profusely condemned the many violations of journalists' rights across the world. Among the perpetrators she listed, Myanmar, Egypt, Turkey, Tanzania, Cambodia, the Philippines, Malta, Mexico, and, of course, China and Russia. All of them were chastised as oppressive governments that repress, detain, or outright murder unwanted journalists. Don't think of WikiLeaks or Julian Assange or any of that stuff. But anyway, after she was done with her little presentation, though, she went on to talk, and she was questioned with that. She also condemned the recent deaths of journalists in Palestine and the Gaza Strip. And there was nothing said. But anyway, this video here, I need to play it here toward this bottom half here because of timing there. But this is Chris Hedges talking about how controlling the narrative and shutting down websites and even steering traffic from websites to keep the war agenda going, as I read earlier there about the this research paper that has listed all these pro-war sites, because that's all America has. So, Kenneth, you want to go ahead and roll that video, and then once I get to the point, I'll just go ahead and kill it there, okay? No, it starts about 2 seconds or 3 seconds in. Yeah. All right. And sorry for the delay, everyone.
Welcome to On Contact. Today we talk about the destruction of an independent press with NYU professor Mark Crispin Miller.
As the press has vanished into the media cartel that you mentioned, what it's like six transnational corporations.
Roughly, yeah.
That control something like 90% of the content that we ingest daily. As the media cartel has become more concentrated and more profit-focused, I think it has simultaneously also become closer and closer to the state.
Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, along with 18 members of the House of Representatives, 15 Republicans and 3 Democrats, has sent a letter to Attorney General Jeff Sessions demanding that the Qatari-run Al Jazeera television network register as a foreign agent under the Foreign Agents Registration Act, or FARA. The letter was issued after Al Jazeera said it planned to air a documentary by a reporter who went undercover to investigate the Israel lobby in the United States. The action by the senator and the House members follows the decision by the Justice Department to force RT America to register as a foreign agent under FARA and the imposition of algorithms by Facebook, Google, and Twitter that steer traffic away from left-wing, anti-war, and progressive websites. It also follows December's abolition of net neutrality. This assault on the few press platforms that are willing to take critical looks at corporate capitalism, imperialism, police violence, the erosion of civil liberties, fracking, and income inequality is ominous. It is part of an effort by the corporate state to brand dissidents, independent journalists, and critics as agents of a foreign power. FARA, until recently, was a little-used regulation passed in 1938 to combat Nazi propaganda. It has now become the weapon to snuff out press freedom. I discuss the future of the journalism in the United States with NYU professor of media studies Mark Crispin Miller.
Let's talk about what's happened to the press in the United States. I think you would agree with me that journalism, real journalism, has already been pushed so far to the margins. And now with the abolition of net neutrality, the imposition of algorithms by Google and Facebook, coupled with these anonymous sites like ProperNot, tarring journalists as foreign agents, we're seeing even that last readout of the press being crushed. How did that happen? What are the consequences, and where are we going?
Well, I want to preface my reply by saying that I have never seen anything like the moment that we're living through. I mean, having studied the media in this country for decades, and of course, having lived with it all my life, as you have, I can't really find the words to convey my astonishment at the constant hurricane of propaganda in whose eye we're all living on a daily basis. And as you note, the all-pervasive, strident stigmatization of those who dare to depart from the official story, you know, even to look into it, much less to contradict it vocally.
I just want to interrupt there, because when I began now, what, three, maybe almost four decades ago as a journalist, and I worked for the New York Times, as you know, these were not welcoming institutions, and yet there was space within them, however much we were harassed, however much we were marginalized within. And it seems to me that just that space has closed to almost nothing in terms of what is acceptable in what you cover.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. I mean, I think that one day soon we'll be able to look back, take a comprehensive look at the history of, for example, the New York Times, and see how there were indeed parts, sectors within the institution, within the newspaper every day, where one had a certain amount of latitude, you know. For example, I mean, I've been very carefully studying the media performance since the assassination of John Kennedy for a film project I'm involved in. And I'm quite struck by the fact that as unanimous, as univocal as the official story was back then from the time it happened, there were still here and there contradictions of the official story.
Within the mainstream media?
Even within the mainstream media. I mean, you had to hunt for them. You had to search them out. They were so buried as almost to be non-existent. But then at the same time, you were also struck by the fact that there was really a lot more latitude in, say, the book review sections of
right.
the newspapers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The Times, the Washington Post. In 1975, amazingly enough, the Washington Post, which by now it seems to me is a kind of CIA adjunct, they actually ran, the book review section, actually ran a very positive review of Philip Agee's Inside the Company, which hadn't even been published here yet.
And we should be clear, a former CIA agent who exposed, you know, let's call them criminal activities of the CIA.
Yeah, it's an indispensable book, and in a way an outrageous book, because he actually listed the names of all the
yes,
CIA
that's right.
officers he'd worked with in South America as a way to make them ineffective. This was a very bold thing to do. It's now illegal since 1982. Not only did the Washington Post's book review section give that book a positive review, but because it wasn't available in the United States yet, it had only been published in Britain, there was a footnote telling people how to get copies
well,
of it.
That would never happen now.
That would never happen.
What happened?
Well, I actually think that starting in the mid-70s, when the CIA went through its big public relations crisis because of the congressional investigations.
This was the Church hearings.
Church hearings.
Which exposed Senator Frank Church, exposed, really made public, all sorts of dirty tricks and targeted assassination, you know, all of the kind of stuff, like the Phoenix program. And
that's right. It was a kind of a watershed moment for domestic dissident expression about what we call the intelligence community. There was also the Pike Committee in the House of Representatives, not as well known, because its report was more pugnacious and ended up being classified by the House. At any rate, the CIA had a bit of a problem then. And if you go back and you look at rural newspapers, small papers all over the country, the letters sections, the editorial sections, you're really struck by the fact that a very broad range of the American people was really deeply troubled by the excesses of the CIA. The response was not uniformly authoritarian or defensive, as I think it would be now. So I believe that what happened is that in response to that crisis, the CIA set about to make sure that nothing like that would ever happen again. I believe that they got to work trying to rein in elements of the left press.
Would this also have been true after the exposure of COINTELPRO? The FBI would have been doing the same thing, wouldn't it?
Well, the FBI would have been trying to do the same thing. I don't think they were either as influential with the American media or as adept at handling them, right, as the CIA was, because we know from Carl Bernstein's famous Rolling Stone article in 1977 that the CIA had hundreds of journalists either on the payroll outright or just working with them. Bernstein gave the impression that that had stopped. I think that it was just getting started. And I think that what we have seen over the decades since the mid-70s, and I'm going to make a provocative comparison here, is something analogous to what the Nazis called Gleichschaltung, which means streamlining, right? When they came to power, they made it their business to make sure that not only all media outlets, but all industries, all sectors of the culture would be streamlined, which meant getting rid of anyone who was not fully on board with the Nazi program, so that, you know, every single sector of the media, for example, as well as theater, filmmaking, radio, and so on, they were all completely on board. Okay, now I want to elaborate on this in a way
That's
that I
good,
think
Ken.
You'll find germane. As I've said, and as you agreed, what we're living through now seems to be unprecedented in American experience. I mean,
good,
even
Ken.
10 years ago, I would have flinched if someone had compared our press to the Nazi press. I would have thought that kind of a vulgar overstatement.
Okay. All right. That there is just a summary of what you saw. And, you know, there's an article in the New York Times called The Mighty Wurlitzer, and it talks more about this embedding of the CIA or the communist inside of America, as I call it. But, you know, this is this perception management, as is detailed there in the Wikipedia article. But, you know, I'd referred to earlier how the Palestinians were flying kites. And, of course, this gives the Israelis the ability to defend themselves. And this Times article, though, it goes on reporting there that these kites would fly up, and then, of course, the wind would change direction. And, of course, that's only mentioned fully, though, in the 21st paragraph. But what they omitted was the fact is what Gaza has experienced here just in the last couple of weeks. And this is where the Israeli troops have wounded 6,793 protesters by Thursday, including 24 who had each had one of their limbs amputated as a direct result of their injuries. Not to mention those special ballistic bullets are using that kind of mushroom out, which are meant to sever arms and legs and whatever. And of course, the amount of deaths has been 45. And this is just for Palestinians who are inside the world's largest prison, as David Cameron called it over there in the UK, to sit there and protest the fact of the rolling blackouts of no electricity, no water. Now they're, as Mike Rivero had mentioned, they're even banning automobiles to come into the area. And that's why the Palestinians set up this buffer zone and lighting all these tires on fire, is so that the Israeli snipers couldn't shoot at them. And, of course, this is all on their Palestinian lands in Gaza. It's not like they're invading Jerusalem or anything like that. This is over in Gaza. But, you know, it's... If it doesn't sink into you or alarm you, the fact of what's going on over in Israel, you should just remember that U.S. law enforcement is trained by the same perps. So if you see a police officer on our streets here, you might wonder about your children being shot. So you know, also here, I remember growing up playing with guns, playing cowboys and Indians. Nowadays, a kid holds a toy gun and they're shot automatically. I mean, it's just this constant fear and phobia of guns anymore. And I had referenced that to a tweet where someone was talking about guns, and I says, I see you're remaining moot on the fact of the fast and furious arms that have gone down to Mexico, which over 60,000 people have been killed down there in these drug cartel wars, moot on the fact that the U.S. and its allied forces have been demolishing Libya, Syria, and Iraq by funneling arms to these alleged moderate rebels, assault rifles, larger caliber man pads, all in violation of the Lugar-Obama bill, which, of course, is used as a preemptive means to go in to attack these countries to remove the same weapons that the United States has furnished and others. You know, I got a break coming up here in a second here. So the point of that thing with Chris Hedges was that our media is not honest at all. And when you've got all these corporations, that's like the host of these pharmaceutical ads all during the TV shows during prime time. And then later at night comes out all the lawyer things about, have you been affected by this implant or valve replacement or whatever? Call 1-800, you know, get a lawyer or something like that. Anyway, we'll be right back. 1-800-313-9443.
Double talk is all you get, and you wanna.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
If you are one of the millions of people who get migraines, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist who created MigRelief, the patented dietary supplement that addresses nutritional deficiencies in adults and children with migraines. Thousands of physicians and pharmacists recommend MigRelief.
Call 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Welcome back. You're listening to On Frequency with Keith Rogers, located here in beautiful springtime western Montana. It is so warm out that I won't mention it. Anyway, as I mentioned earlier, there is some good news. Not the fact that I was able to roll a joint there for the first time that actually looked good. But anyway, Trump is going to ask Israel to withdraw from four East Jerusalem neighborhoods. And this might be good. I love the way that they always throw that little kicker in there, though. Anyway, it says the Trump administration will ask Israel to withdraw from four Arab neighborhoods in East Jerusalem, which likely will become the part of the capital of the future Palestinian state. The U.S. officials told the defense minister, Lieberman, during his visit to Washington last week. Anyway, a transfer of control over the neighborhoods, and it names these different neighborhoods here, was presented to Lieberman as just one piece of the larger peace plan that the administration has been working on over the last year. Israel, the officials indicated, would be expected to accept the plan once it was presented, despite the potentially painful concessions. I had to laugh about that part. I'm sorry. Painful concessions. It's not their area. This was all part of that UN resolutions. Anyway, Trump is going to have his Pentagon open up Guantanamo Bay to new prisoners. And it says, Gitmo is back in business, fulfilling a campaign promise for Donald Trump, who pledged to refill the detention facility with some bad dudes. Of course, you won't find any rogue FBI agents in there, bankers, corporate CEOs from Monsanto or BP, or others that have destroyed our lands, oceans, and drinking water, nor the likes of Hillary, John Bolton, Nikki Haley, etc., etc., etc. And if all things are going as well, it sounds like John McCain's on his final step, so that's a good step. Anyway, the article goes on and says that the case of detention of representatives of special services of the West is not a single case. 5 years ago, I should back up on here. This is in retort to what is going on now in Syria. And again, you have to, like Chris Hedges says, we're not getting the full story. So, this article goes on to talk about these 23 French commandos were found and detained in Aleppo, who supported the attack of the militants and adjusted all their actions. And I like that word, adjusted. So these probably are field intelligence people, you know, ones that sit on the ground and call in airstrikes. But anyway, the title of this is Russian Aviation in Syria Destroyed U.S. Special Agents at a Meeting with Their Leaders of IGIL. And this is this another firm over there, which is connected with France. I mean, the whole—they're all in it, kit and caboodle, I guess you call it. But even before that, in Homs, were caught about 40 Turks and 20 Frenchmen again, who stepped in with right in row with all the terrorists. And but the most memorable moment was when Assad's troops were able to cover in this personnel officers at once from these three Western countries of France, Britain, and the United States. At the same time, they were all taken captive, and not a single mercenary or anyone else was found in their presence. So these are the ones that are spearheading the events over there. So when you look at all this, what's going on, we are being fed so much BS, it's pathetic. And that's why I like those Bex alerts that you see on these websites, or that's that bovine excrement. If people believe this stuff, they got to be idiots, But anyway, and along with that, the Russian Foreign Ministry spokesperson, Maria Zakharov, said that something is broken in American democracy while speaking at her weekly briefing in Moscow. And, of course, the comments were spurred on by the U.S. and it's continuing to show aggression towards Moscow as it confiscates a Russian consulate building in Seattle. And if anyone is following these stories here, the U.S. is in stark violation of all these treaties and laws of where these diplomatic centers are never raided and stuff. I mean, it's like watching Lethal Weapon with Danny Glover and Mel Gibson there, and they're trying to get that South African idiot. And, of course, he keeps calling out for his diplomatic immunity. But, yeah, again, the U.S. is not recognizing anything. And, of course, the only way to combat anything is to continually sanction people back and forth, you know. And this, again, is not only limited to that building, but also the fact of this Skripal poisoning case. And this is because the U.K. continues to be reluctant to give factual information about the health status of the surgeon.